Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Millionaire Club member Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Monday, February 6, 2017, Moore Success Team Legal Shield B2B Conference Call. We host this special call the first Monday of every month, and it's designed specifically to assist our Moore Success Team associates that are interested in the B2B side of Legal Shield. And it's my privilege to introduce tonight's special guest speaker. He was recruited into Legal Shield by his brother Mark when he was barely 23 years old. He went full-time in 2002. He made executive director in his second month in the business. He was known as the kid who was going to earn six figures, as he had stated once in a meeting when the founder of Legal Shield, Mr. Stonecipher, was present. He's a $100,000 ring earner in his second year at the age of 24. He's a 6,000 Production Achievement Award winner. He's a Millionaire Club member. Mr. Mike Riches, welcome to the call, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Moore. It's just an absolute privilege to be on the call with everybody tonight. I'll tell you, this is an honor to be with such great people as I heard on our roll call. I heard top producers, I heard top group openers, and it's just a privilege to be able to spend some time with you all tonight. And I always want to thank and to give thanks is not even sufficient, but I don't know any better word to say, any better phrase to use. But I want to give thanks to the Moore family, who has done so much for our family. We may not be exactly the same bloodline, but we really feel like a part of their family, and have always felt that way. And that goes back to 20 years ago when Mr. Ken Moore did a meeting for my mom up in Kansas, and then many events since then. I don't think my wife and I have been on a trip where we're not on the same flight as Stephanie and Jeremy Moore. So I really feel like y'all are family, and want to thank all of you, the generations of the Moore Success Team, and all that y'all do, and for always being so kind to us. And it's just a privilege to be able to share some thoughts with you tonight. So, I know I'm talking to folks here. A lot of you have a lot of experience and have been doing this thing for a long time. For me, that's certainly the case. I've been doing this for coming up on 15 years now, full time, and I'm particularly passionate about the group side of our business, because that's where I started. I mean, that's what I started doing when I first signed up. I started going out and setting up group enrollments with companies and presenting Legal Shield as an employee benefit. We didn't have the identity theft at that time. It was just the legal plan, and the 24-hour, we called that Legal Shield back then, but the 24-hour emergency assistance was fairly new, and I remember taking that into places, and that was kind of an exciting thing, and I remember talking about that. But I'll tell you, that's how I got started, and was going out there setting up enrollments. My first few presentations were, to say that they were not very good would be the biggest understatement of the year. They were horrible. I mean, they were really, really bad. They were Atlanta defense in the fourth quarter kind of bad, and I'm sorry if any of you are big fans. I know it's too soon to make that kind of analogy, but I'm telling you, it was bad. I mean, it was real bad, and I remember that my first group presentation. I showed up, and I was in front of a room. There were 12 people. It wasn't a big room. If it had been any more than 12 people, I probably would have passed out because I was so nervous anyway, but there were 12 people in the room, and I did the presentation, and my brother had, as Randy said, had recruited me and had tried to teach me a thing or two, and I had listened to him speak at different business briefings and things like that. I don't know that I'd ever seen him do a group enrollment at that time, but he had sent me a script that he used. It was just, he recorded himself and then typed it all out, but that's the script that he sent me, and he had told me to try to memorize it as well as I could. And the advice that he gave me, he said, if you'll just record yourself, and that was back when we had tape players, so he said, if you'll record yourself on a tape player and then listen to that back over and over and over and over again, he said, that language will start to kind of get in your head a little bit. And eventually it'll kind of become second nature. And so I did that. I recorded myself. I remember vividly recording myself with that tape player and tape recorder and recorded myself reading the script. I tried to read it with some emotion and some energy that I was going to have, like I was wanting to have when I presented. And then I listened to that. I had a little tape player in my truck, and I listened to that over and over and over again leading up to this enrollment. And I showed up. It was a pretty far drive. It was about 3 hours away from where I was staying. And I showed up, left early, showed up early, 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 or whatever it was. And I got up in front of the room, and here were these 12 people that were all looking at me. And I started to do my little presentation. And I can promise you this, the presentation that was on that tape recorder was not the presentation that came out of my mouth, okay? And maybe I just hadn't listened to it enough, but I started talking, and, I mean, it was all jumbled and mumbled, and I mean, it didn't sound anything like the script sounded. And then I was trying to use some of the language and trying to use the brochure that we had, a little trifold brochure, and I probably held the brochure upside down, but, I mean, you want to talk about a flop of a presentation. That was about as bad as you could get. And I've heard some bad ones. I don't know that anybody could top that one. At the end, I remember vividly thinking, I don't even want to close. My brother had taught me, okay, you got to ask for the sale. When you get to the end of your presentation, you got to tell people, pick up your pen, start writing on the app. Back then, the app had a $10 fee is required for individual enrollments, and we were supposed to tell them to scratch that line out. That was kind of how you got them writing at that point. And I didn't even want to, because I thought, surely no one is going to want to sign up after hearing that. But I figured, I drove all the way down here. It's a three-hour drive. I might as well go ahead and close. And so I did. I got to the end. I said, now, folks, take out your pen. You see this up here where it says a $10 fee? Go ahead and take your pen. Scratch that line out. That doesn't apply to y'all. And it was kind of amazing. But people started writing on their form. And I was a little bit taken aback because I thought, surely they're not signing up. And I said, well, go ahead and fill out the date. They started filling out the date. And I said, well, go ahead and put your social. They started putting their social. And I thought, I almost wanted to say, now, folks, you don't have to sign up. I mean, I almost wanted to talk them out of it at that point because I felt so bad. I'd done such a bad presentation. Long story short, ended up signing up 5 out of those 12 people. And you talk about being on cloud 9. Now, that's not very good percentages. Okay, 5 out of 12, if you do some quick math on that, is, 5 out of 12, that's 42%. That's not a great enrollment by any stretch of anyone's imagination. It's not terrible, but it's not great. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. I was not in the mood to compare percentages that day. Man, I was on cloud 9. I was all kinds of fired up. Not only had people signed up, But I had made some money. And I think back then I was probably making, $80 a sale or something. I mean, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't like today. This was a $14.95 plan, maybe $15.95. But anyway, it was enough that I had made about $300 or $400. And for a broke kid coming out of college, used to making, maybe $100 a week in my part-time job while I was in school, to make $300 or $400 in 20 minutes or 30 minutes, however long it took to get in and out of that place, I was on cloud 9, I'm telling you. And what was maybe even more exciting is the fact that people had signed up after hearing that presentation, because I knew I could get better at that. I knew I couldn't get much worse anyway. And I figured, if I keep practicing, I'm gonna get better at it. And yet I had still signed up people. And I thought, man, this is huge. Now, I've thought back on that a lot since then. And obviously, I've done my fair share of recruiting and building a team. And a big part of my team is focused on group sales. That's kind of what we like to do as an organization. And so I've trained a lot of people. I've taken them out, and I've listened to a lot of people. And one thing I do with my team is about once a week, we'll get a small group together, 10 or 15 people, and we'll join via webinar. So I've got people calling in from all over the country, and it's a web conference, not webinar, it's a web conference where we're actually looking at each other, and you can kind of see about everybody that's part of that web conference, and we practice presentations, and I'll listen to people do their presentation, and I'll critique them, maybe give them a few things that they could do better, certainly recognize them on the things that they're doing well, and so I say all that to say this, in my almost 15 years now, I've heard a lot of new people. And again, I don't know that I've ever heard one as bad as mine, a presentation as bad as my first one, but I've heard some that are mediocre. I've heard some that are, not so great. I've heard some that are stellar, and I've heard a lot of them. And I'll tell you, I've thought back on that first day. I've thought back on, okay, why did 5 out of 12 sign up? Because not only have I seen other people kind of get started and maybe not have those kinds of results, I've had plenty of enrollments since then. I've had enrollments after I developed my presentation and got to where I was pretty confident with it, where I bombed. And it was 0 out of 12, or 0 out of 15, or 0 out of whatever that signed up. And I think back, okay, so what happened? Was that just ultra fortuitous that I ended up in that room, and I think I can limit it down to maybe just a small handful of things. There's a lot that I did not do right in that first presentation, and there were maybe a couple things that I did do right. One of those, without question, is I prayed, and I still pray a lot. I'm on my knees regularly talking to God and asking for help. And I truly believe, and I'm not trying to be preachy to you, but I truly believe that there are doors that he can open that you and I cannot and will not. And so it'd be foolish for me to sit here and try to take credit for something that was very, very, very likely just an easy one that the good Lord gave me. And I've thought maybe he just wanted me to have a good experience, and maybe he knew what could happen if I did have a good experience. And by the way, that my first 6 days of working this, and it was part-time at that point because I was still in school. We had about a week off of school. And so I had 6 days, and I ended up writing 41 memberships in those 6 days and several different enrollments. And maybe he knew that needed to happen. Maybe he knew where he wanted me. Maybe he knew that if I got serious about this, I could not only affect our lifestyle, but maybe he knew that I'd get passionate about it and be able to help other people change their lifestyles as well. Maybe he knew that I'd be serious and not afraid to get on the phone and make some calls and set up stuff and thereby be able to bless other people with this membership. I don't know. Maybe he knew what he wanted outside of this business from me. Maybe he wanted me to be a father here 15 years later, where I could spend time with my kids and go to lunch with them and have that type of freedom. Maybe he knew that my kids needed that. I don't know. I don't pretend to know what's all in the mind of God, but I do know this. I'm grateful, and I prayed before and I prayed after, and I'm still praying today. And I really do believe that makes a difference. Some of you don't believe in that, and you say, well, I don't really think prayer makes a difference. Well, my advice is maybe just try it anyway, and just in case, because I really do believe that it does. Again, I'm not trying to push my faith on anybody, but that's something that I really feel strongly affected me. As far as, in the business, I think maybe listening to that tape a few times, maybe there was some phraseology, maybe there were some sentences that got through. Like I said, it definitely didn't sound like the tape, but maybe there were pieces that connected with people, and I've just learned that. We've got some really good scripts, that people have written down what they say in an enrollment, and maybe you've been blessed to have a good script. I've learned this. When I'm training my team, my first bit of advice is, hey, look, you're going to make this thing your own eventually, but in the beginning, follow the script as closely as you can. There's language in that script that's going to make a difference for you. And I think maybe some of that seeped through my poor presentation skills. Some of that language maybe stuck in there a little bit. I remember one in particular, just a little line when you're talking about letters and phone calls made on a member's behalf. I remember the script because the word amazing was in all caps, and I remember I accentuated that. I said, it's amazing the difference that a letter or a phone call from an attorney can make in getting you results. And I remember I said that in that presentation. I said that in a lot of those early presentations. Still say it today much of the time. And that was just kind of one of those little sentences that maybe slipped through my inabilities and my lack of skill, my lack of talent. Maybe there was some of that language that had slipped through. And if that is the case, then I'm grateful I followed my brother's advice. I'm grateful that I got that tape recorder. I had to borrow it from somebody. I didn't have one, but borrowed that tape recorder, recorded myself doing the presentation, and listened to that tape over and over and over again. One thing that I do think made a difference, and one thing that I will that I see today in training my team is this: people that don't use their own membership have a really hard time expressing conviction. They have a really hard time transferring their enthusiasm to their crowd, and whether that's a crowd of five or a crowd of 50. Or a crowd of one, you know, one person that you're trying to sell a membership to. If you've never used your own plan, I think it's really hard to fake that. I think it's really hard to act like you're excited about it. I think Wilburn Smith used to teach that a lot, where sales is just really just a transfer of belief. You just are taking something you believe in and sharing that belief with somebody else. And if I did anything of my own self that I think made a difference, especially in that first presentation, those first few presentations, and still today, I was not afraid to use my own membership. And I had used it several times before. I say multiple times. It was probably two or three times before I did that first presentation. I had had them write a letter on my behalf. I had made a phone call and asked a question on a separate issue. There were two or three. None of them, I don't think, super huge, but two or three things that I used my membership for that I knew that it worked. And so that belief, that conviction, I think was definitely inside of me, and maybe those people could feel it. Those five people that were sitting there, why else would they listen to a 22-year-old kid? I mean, why? Seriously. That doesn't have a clue about what's going on in life. Why would they listen to me? I mean, I had to look as green as could be. And yet, five of those people signed up, and I really think that that had something to do with it, that the fact that I believed in what I was doing, because I had used it myself. Now, I'd heard other stories, and I don't even know if I shared a story in that first enrollment, but I don't think I shared my stories at all. I hope I didn't, because I didn't have them refined at that point, so they probably were not worth sharing. But that belief was there, and the conviction was there. And I believe that you've got to have some of that for doing a successful enrollment, a successful decision-maker meeting, even prospecting on the phone. You know, I've got people that spend time doing a lot of phone prospecting, where they're calling companies trying to set up a meeting with a decision-maker. And it's really interesting because those who have their own plan set more appointments. Those who use their own plan set more appointments than someone who's brand new who maybe hadn't used it yet. Or yeah, I've got a couple people that I've recruited that say, well, I'm gonna get my own membership a little bit later, which I do not recommend. And it's amazing, but they just don't last. It doesn't even work. I don't know that any of them have ever even made one appointment calling on the phone to try to set something up before. And yet, as they buy the membership themselves, and more importantly, as they use the membership, that's when they start to see more success, and it has to do with that belief and that conviction. I really do believe that. I wanted to just share, if it's okay, Randy, maybe 5 minutes on doing that phone prospecting. I think that there are a lot of ways. I don't think I know. There are a lot of different ways to prospect in this business. You know, you're sitting there. You've got a plethora of companies around you that have never heard of Legal Shield. I don't care if you're sitting in Los Angeles, California, or Ada, Oklahoma. You got people and places around you that have never really even heard a presentation. And even those who have, if they've heard a presentation before, they've never heard your presentation. And so, you know, the market is wide open. And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. How do I attack that marketplace? How do I approach people? How do I go out and find companies to meet with? Should I get out in person, go walk your community type of a thing? Should I hit the phones? Should I, send emails? And I've learned this. I think if you were to survey the top 100 producers, you'd find a lot of variance in the way that they do things. But I think that you'd find some consistency in how they prospect. And I don't know what the numbers are, if it'd be 50-50 or 70-30 or 60-40. I don't know. But you'd find some who have gotten very good at prospecting over the phone, and you'll definitely find some who have gotten very good at prospecting in person, the walk-and-talk type of method, where you're out there walking and talking to people and introducing yourself. And I know this. If you were to interview and survey our top 100 producers at LegalShield, you'd find, again, some consistency in that area. You'd find a lot of variance on as far as what they say. You're going to find a lot of different approaches, a lot of different scripts that they use. And that's why I'm so glad to see that LegalShield's not saying, okay, go memorize this particular script to everybody, because the script that Jeremy Moore uses may be very different than the script that I use. And yet both of them can be effective, and I'm great with that. In fact, I celebrate that. But what my point is, I think that you would find, though, a lot of consistency in the way that each one of them does something. So, for example, I don't think you're going to find a top producer, not in the top 10 or 20, who says, okay, on Monday I'm going to do it this way, and on Tuesday I'm going to do it a different way, and on Wednesday I'm going to try a different thing, and Thursday I'm going to do something completely separate. I think that for the most part, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. For the most part, the top producers, they do things a certain way. You've got people in our organization, Scott Brooks and Dave Perpino. Scott Brooks is a caller on the phone. Man, he is a caller on the phone. And he doesn't really vary from that. Now, that might be different than a lot of other people, but it's the same for Scott. It's consistency the way that Scott Brooks does it. Dave Perpino, he's really good at getting out in person and walking. And so he might do a lot of that. So I think you'd find a lot of consistency. Once someone finds what works for them, what you're going to see in those top producers is they continue to do the thing. I got a lot of people that say, which is better, going out in person or prospecting over the phone? And my answer is always the same. My answer is whatever you're more comfortable with, do a lot of it. And because if you hate the phone, there's no sense in trying to sit there and force yourself to make phone calls. And if you don't like getting out in person, if you're not confident when you're out there in person and you'd rather sit at home and make calls, then by all means, get on the phone and make a bunch of phone calls. I do think that you'd find consistency that they set goals. Now, their goals may be very different, but they all set goals. And they all have a point where they feel like stopping and then they keep on going. They all have a point where they say, I'm not going to stop right now. Maybe my goal was 40 calls for the day, and I'm at 41, but I'm going to keep on going. And they all have that drive in them. And it's not uncommon, by the way. When you say, I'm going to make 40 calls today, and you make your 45th and your 46th and your 47th, and then you set an appointment on your 48th and you make your 49th and you set an appointment on your 50th, that there is magic in going a little beyond your goal. You'll see some amazing results by doing that. Since I've been training a lot of people on the phone, let me just share a couple tips for those of you who are on the phone. If your goal is to sit down today and make 50 calls, if that's your method of prospecting, and again, I always tell people you got to make 100 calls before you even have an idea whether it's your method of prospecting. Don't sit there and make 5 or 10 calls and then tell me you're good or not, or tell me it's not for you or it is. You can't know that until you've made at least 100. So you gotta get in enough to actually get more than just your feet wet. You actually gotta get wet, and then you can tell me if the water's warm or if it's cold, and you don't like it or you do or whatever. But once you get in there and you start prospecting over the phone, if that's your thing, then here are maybe just a couple tips. I think a big one is the posture that you have. And I'm not talking about the way that you sit up straight, although that might not be a bad idea, too. You know, they say put a mirror there next to you so you can kind of see yourself on the phone. I think there's some wisdom in that. By posture, though, I'm talking about the way that you come across to people. How are you coming across on the phone? And I've learned this in all my years. There's really, when you're calling a company, you are in, because we know that your first step is to actually get to the decision maker. You're probably going to get a receptionist on the phone at first. You've got to get past that receptionist. We like to call that person a gatekeeper sometime. You got to get past the gatekeeper to the person on the phone. Well, I've learned you're in one of three categories when that receptionist or that gatekeeper answers the phone. You're either Category A, Category B, or Category C. Category A is someone that has a phone appointment. Okay? Category C is a solicitor. And let me tell you, those gatekeepers are trained to watch out for solicitors. And by the way, if you're out prospecting in person, this applies too. And they're trained to watch for solicitors. So the key is you got to get into Category B. I know that when I'm prospecting, whether I'm out in person or whether I'm over the phone, I know I don't have an appointment. If I show up to a business and I say I've got a 1 o'clock with Betty, I'm a Category A. The receptionist is going to say, no problem, let me call her right up. I'm not going to be in Category A because I don't have an appointment yet. I'm trying to get the appointment. But I don't want to be in Category C. I don't want to be viewed as a solicitor. I want to be in Category B. Category B is you don't have an appointment, but you're supposed to be calling. And there's a different posture between a Category B person and a Category C person. And a good gatekeeper is trained to recognize the difference. Because if they feel like you're just a solicitor, they're going to put you through to voicemail. They're not going to tell anybody that you're there. If you're out in person, they're going to say, well, they're in a meeting, they're busy, they can't come up and see you. So I want to be in Category B, someone that I may not have an appointment, but I am supposed to be there, or on the phone, I am supposed to be calling. If you want to know the difference, call your spouse at work. And the way that you come across to the receptionist there, that's a Category B. You don't have an appointment with your spouse, but you're supposed to be calling. If my spouse did work out of the home, she works very, very hard as a stay-at-home mom. But if she had a job outside of the home and I called her job and I said, hey, is Allie in? And the receptionist said, yeah, can I tell her who's calling? Yeah, this is her husband. I'm Category B. And guess what she's going to do? She's going to get Allie on the phone and say, hey, your husband's on the line. Boom, Allie's going to be talking to me because I'm Category B. Now, one way to get in Category B is go marry people and then get into their group. Short of that, how else can you be in Category B? Well, I think a lot of it is confidence. When you are confident, people feel like you're supposed to be calling. I love the phrase, I've been assigned. Not necessarily with a gatekeeper, but when I get the decision maker on the phone, I've been assigned to come contact your company. And I feel real confident for that because Wilburn Smith assigned me to call on every company in America. So I was always confident saying that. And I'm sure you can find somebody to assign you to do the same. I'm sure Mr. Ken Moore would be very, very glad to assign you to call on every company in America so you can feel confident saying, I've been assigned. I always ask for the decision maker by their first name. If the decision maker is John Stevens, I don't say is Mr. Stevens in, I say is John in, whether I'm on the phone or in person, because that's posture. I wouldn't call my wife at work and say, is Mrs. Riches in? I'd say, is Allie there? And I might even say on the phone to the receptionist, hey, this is Mike. Is Allie in? It's that confidence that puts you in Category B. Now, let me just talk for a minute about when you get that decision maker on the phone. Again, there are 100 scripts that have set appointments. So I'm not a big guy into you got to say this or you got to say that. You got to find a script that you are comfortable with that works for you and then follow it. But I believe that there are a few commonalities between those top producers and the scripts that they might use that I could share with you. Number one is you got to ask the right question. And the right question is never when you're prospecting and you get that decision maker on the phone or they come out in person and you're talking to them, the right question is never do you have 15 minutes sometime? Because no one has 15 minutes. They're all busy. The right question is never would you be interested in talking to me? hey, I want to talk to you about identity theft and legal plans. Would you be interested in visiting with me? I can tell you with confidence those are not the right questions. The right question has to do with more with calendaring. See, I'm a big believer in assuming the appointment. I'm a big believer in assuming that they are going to sit down. I need to bring some information, sit down with you for 15 minutes. What does next Wednesday morning look like for you? Could we do like 9 o'clock? Does 9 o'clock next Wednesday work for you? Some people like to give an option. Next Wednesday we'll be here. Would 9 or 11 work better for you? Again, there are different variations of that, but I want to get to calendaring. I want to get to a calendar. If they're thinking about what they're doing next Wednesday and could they put me in there at 9 o'clock, they're not thinking about, am I really interested in this? Do I even want to meet with this person? I don't want them on all that. I want them thinking about their calendar. And so I'm going to get to calendaring as quick as I can. I've got to meet with ABC Company across the road at 10. Could you do 9:30? Would 9:30 next Wednesday work for you? And if I can get them thinking about their calendar, I'm likely going to get that appointment. The minute they say, let me check or let me look at my calendar, I know I'm good. I know I'm good because now I've got their mind on the right thing. By the way, when I prospect, I like to shoot for about a week out. Again, a lot of people may feel differently about that. That's fine. I personally, if today is Monday the 6th, I'm going to shoot for Monday the 13th or Tuesday the 14th or about a week, maybe a week and a day out from where I'm at right now. And the reason is, again, I want them thinking about their calendar. If I ask you what you're doing tomorrow morning at 9, everybody on this call will be able to tell me because you know what you're doing tomorrow morning at 9. But if I ask you what you're doing next Tuesday at 9 o'clock on the 14th, 9 a.m., you'd have to think about that a little bit and maybe even have to look at your calendar. And, again, what do I want you doing? I want you thinking about your calendar. So I like to shoot for a week out. Now, I think if you're going to do that, it's important to do an Outlook reminder or something that's going to pop up on their calendar. I really like those Outlook reminders, but because otherwise, if you just say it and then leave it, they'll forget about it. But I kind of like shooting for a week out because it makes them think a little bit more about their calendar. You know, one thing, whether you're going in person or prospecting over the phone, one thing that is very important is you got to have the same energy, the same enthusiasm on each call, whether it's an in-person call or a phone call. You got to have the same energy, the same enthusiasm every time. If it's your 65th phone call today that you're making, you got to make it sound like it's your first. Think like a stage performer. You know, we like to go watch musicals and different things, my wife and I. And you know, those performers that are up on stage, it might be the 500th time they've done that performance, but you can't tell because they're doing it the same way as they did the first or second time, maybe a little bit better. But they're not lacking energy. And that's really how you and I have to think of ourselves. You've got to have the same energy, the same enthusiasm on each call. Maybe one last tip here. I've gone over the time that they asked me to take, and I apologize for that. But one last tip for you, especially if you're on the phone, this tends to work pretty well. I like to use leads, you know, from like Manta or Reference USA or, you know, different lead sources where sometimes I'm fortunate enough to have a name. Often, though, I'm not fortunate enough to have a name. And so I might call a company. I don't know who it is who makes decisions on benefits. I don't know who the DM is that I really want to meet with. I've learned three little words that help me get that name. Because I don't know if you've found this, but some people are a little funky about the way that they do that. They don't want to give information out over the phone. You know, they'll tell you that, well, I'm not allowed to give that information out over the phone. By the way, if they're telling you that, you are in Category C, just so you know. They view you as a solicitor. If you're in Category B, I don't think it would be as big of an issue. But three little words that help me on this is that yourself. So, for example, if I don't have a name, I'd call somebody and say, hey, I'm wondering if you could help me get pointed in the right direction. I'm looking for the person who handles employee benefits. Is that yourself? And it is amazing the difference when you add those three little words. Is that yourself? Because all of a sudden, that gatekeeper, that receptionist goes into this mode. Nope, that is not me. You need to talk to Judy. You need to talk to Betsy. You need to talk to whoever. And it's just a very effective way to get the right person. So some of you don't have an issue getting the right person, but if any of you have run into that, we're not allowed to give that information out over the phone or, anything like that, maybe try out those three little words. Is that yourself? You watch how quickly they back off of that and say, no, that's not me. Let me put you through to John. That's who you need to talk to. So, Mr. Moore, I don't know if that's helpful, but I just wanted to share those thoughts on prospecting and kind of working the group system. I am real excited about the new 2-day trainings that are going on, and I had the privilege of being up in Ada a couple weeks ago doing a training up there, and Mr. Ken Moore was kind enough to come down and speak to our group. It was hands down the highlight of the 2 days that we spent together there, and I heard that over and over and over again from those who attended. But I'd love to see some folks in the future at that type of an event. Certainly we'll see everybody in Oklahoma City next month, but I will turn the call back over to you, my friend.
Well, Mike, we appreciate it very much. Mr. Moore's actually under the weather tonight, but he wanted me to make sure and let you know how much he appreciated you and, of course, your entire family. I remember your mother very, very well, and how well she's done in the business also. But thank you for being on our call tonight. You did an outstanding training. That's the reason we always like you, because you're, one of the best, as far as I'm concerned, in the business. So thank you very, very, very much, and we look forward to seeing you at the convention. Maybe if you get a chance, whatever script that you're giving to your team, if you'd share that with us, I think I wouldn't mind sharing that with our team.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to.
All right. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I would let you know that in the next 25 minutes at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, that our next conference call will begin. Tonight's special guest speaker is Miss Lisa Streeter, a six-figure ring earner out of the state of Georgia. You will enjoy listening to her. She's a great trainer. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen, God, family, Legal Shield, and we'll see you in just a few minutes. Good night, everyone.